Welcome to the Community of Hope Church podcast. Our church exists to interest disinterested people in Jesus Christ and then grow together into fully devoted followers of Him. So wherever you are, we hope you find this message helpful, practical, and applicable to your life. God bless.
Well, we are concluding our series called Restored today. And if you couldn't tell, our piece of furniture we've been restoring since Easter, it's done. How does it look? Yeah, not bad, right? So the team did an amazing job with this, where they took something that was broken and beat down and disheveled, and they made it into something incredible and beautiful. This is actually going to live in the lobby of the Loxahatchee campus out there, which is kind of cool for us at Loxahatchee. This has kind of become the new Ark of the Covenant for Community of Hope. Nobody touch it. So it's a very cool thing. And what we've been trying to say all across this series is that this piece of furniture, and any piece of furniture that people restore, that's us. That's you. And this is what God desires to do with people. God takes something that is broken and beat down and used by life and can make something new and beautiful. We sang about it earlier. God brings beauty from ashes. This is who God is. And so this is what we're trying to say. That God is the God of restoration, and this is what God can do in you, and this is what God does through Jesus. In fact, it's some of the best things that Jesus does is where he brings stories of transformation into people's lives. Basically, if you try to reduce everything down to what we've been saying in the series, is that by the power of God's help and work in your life, you can change, and God can restore you. The greatest thing that God wants to restore in you is maybe not a circumstance or situation, which he does do that, but even greater than that is what's within you. Each one of us, no matter where you've been in life or where your story is, have something called the image of God within you, where God created you, knit all of us together in our mother's wombs. He put an imprint of himself on every single person. This is the real you. But because of life, and how many of you know that life is a full contact sport? Because life leaves us beaten and broken and beat down and used and abused. That image that God puts within us gets marred, gets broken, and shattered. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he doesn't reject us for being broken. Jesus invites us to become friends of his, and he puts the pieces back together again, restores the image of God within you. The word restore means to cause to be again or to cause to live again. Who here needs something to come back to life inside of you today? Jesus can do it. And that's what we've been talking about in this series. God works beautiful stories of transformation. He's the God who restores. That's what we've been talking about. I want to begin today by talking about a special anniversary that happened this past week in world history. This past week, remarked, somebody corrected me, had the years wrong. It's 79-year anniversary of May 8th, 1945. Does anybody know what May 8th, 1945 was? It's the celebration of VE Day. And VE Day is Victory in Europe Day, which marks the end of World War II and the conflict with Nazi Germany. And so there's jubilation and celebration all over the globe and cities all over the world that the war was over. And then Nazi Germany had been defeated. Incredible pictures and celebrations of the victory of democracy over tyranny. An incredible day in world history. And we're going to talk about this a little bit today. Now, I did a little bit of research on my own. I discovered something on Instagram this week that's also historical. So the VE Day is May 8th, 1945. I learned this week on May 6th, 1945, Chuck Norris was born. On May 7th, 1945, Nazi Germany surrendered. Coincidence? I think not. The sad thing about this is I went and did a little bit of fact checking. I'm like, this is too good to be true. And it turns out Chuck Norris was born in 1940, not 1945. And that's what I get for getting my history from Instagram. Pastor Dale is the real history buff here at our church. And I'm the real idiot of our church. But in all seriousness, we're talking about something like VE Day and the war is over. What amazing celebrations that is. That was not one little headline that was on one newspaper. That was news that exploded all over the world, that caused parades and parties and cheers and celebrations of people kissing in the street and all these amazing things that we just saw. And the truth is, the principle I want us to apply today is that when you become a recipient of good news, you become a messenger of that good news. We do this from anything as trivial as a great place that we ate, you go tell people about it. But with huge, world-changing news, when you become a recipient of a message that is good, you become a messenger of that very same good news. So the question is today, what do we do with the good news of God's restoration that he does? And we're going to look at that. If you're able, would you please stand and for the reading of God's word? And we're going to look at a passage today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16. We're going to go all the way to chapter 6. Verse 2, and this is what it says here. This is written by the Apostle Paul. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Amen. Amen. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Let's go. Thank you, God. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a beautiful descriptor of the cross of Christ and the amazing exchange that happens there. Chapter 6, verse 1, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Amen. Okay, a little bit of background with what we just read. As I said earlier, this is written by the Apostle Paul, which is incredible. We talked about Paul earlier in the series and how Jesus transformed his life and used him in such a profound way. He's author of two-thirds of the New Testament. This church in Corinth was in the city of Corinth was a very challenging church. Historians describe it as a little wild. The city of Corinth was a little bit of a mix between Las Vegas and Mardi Gras. Just, you know, a little bit of that. It was a little bit of church gone wild. And Paul's having to speak to them. And what's fascinating about the letter of 2 Corinthians is Paul was having to defend himself to them because they were rejecting Paul as a leader and as an apostle of the church, mainly because they saw that all the suffering Paul was going through, and they thought surely nobody who is a leader in Jesus' kingdom is supposed to suffer like you. And that's just not true. And Paul's defending himself. So this is good news for somebody here today. If you're going through hard times, if you're going through suffering, that does not mean that Jesus is not with you. It means he's probably closer to you than you know to help you through the suffering. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we find ourselves here in this passage. Now, in the little chunk that we read, there was a word and an idea that continues to pop up over and over again. If you're new to reading the Bible, one thing you want to pay attention to is if words or themes keep happening again in what you're reading, that's something you need to pay attention to. It's called recurrence. And the recurrence in this passage is around the theme of to reconcile, or the idea of reconciliation. This is what Paul is getting at today and how we want to conclude our series. Now, if you want to know what the word reconciliation means, it's a $5 word, which basically means the restoration, which we are talking in a series called Restored. Reconciliation means the restoration of a relationship. The restoration of a relationship. And this is a beautiful thing. This is an incredible thing. Do we have a verse that's next after this? Yes, great. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was reconciling, there's our word, restoring a relationship. He was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Oh, I'm so grateful that God doesn't count my sins against me because of Jesus. Anybody else here grateful for that? Woo-wee. Thank you, God. This is an incredible picture of what God is doing, trying to restore a relationship. And don't just think the world. My mom, she's here today. She's serving in Kids of Hope. Happy Mother's Day. She can't hear me. But when she became a Christ follower is when somebody first told her Jesus didn't just die for the world. He died for you. And when she heard that, she gave her life to Christ when she was in college. Same thing here. God is not just trying to restore a relationship to the world. God is trying to restore his relationship with you. With you. That's an amazing thing. Have you ever had a relationship that was strained or fractured, maybe even broken, that reconciled and was restored to you? And what an incredible thing that is. One of my lifelong best friends is a guy named Brett. And Brett and I, just like Pastor Dale talked about earlier in the passage of kids going into youth group, going to middle school, I became friends with him when I was in sixth grade. And we met in the youth group of the church I was at growing up. We became quick friends. We became super close. Us and our friend Jeff became the three amigos, and we became super deep with Jesus and deep with each other. God happened to call me and Brett and our friend Jeff, but for this story with my friend Brett, called all of us into ministry separate from each other, which is very fun. Brett and I not only grew up in middle school and high school together, we both went to Florida State together. Go Noles. Yes. Thank you for not booing me. 8:30 booed me. Y'all love Jesus more than them. We went to Florida State together. Later, Brett went to Asbury Seminary. I went to Asbury Seminary as well. And then we went in separate ways where Brett went all the way to Missouri, and he's been serving at a church there in a similar role to what I'm doing. And I've been down here in Palm Beach County, a community of hope. And by God's providence, our new church home is called the Sanctification Network. If you're part of Community of Hope, you've heard us talk about that with the Flourish Initiative. That's our new network home. By chance, of the 8 churches that originally started the Sanctification Network, how is it that me in Palm Beach County and him in Missouri were part of the original 8 churches that started this thing? Isn't that cool? Yeah. We kind of look at you like, I feel like God is conspiring here. I don't know. Anyway, so here's a picture of the most recent gathering of the Sanctification Network. It started with 8 churches, and it's quickly expanding. There's Pastor Dale right there next to his best friend. We call him Uncle George, Pastor George. Hey, who loves Pastor George here? Yeah, Pastor George is great. Where's Brandon? There's Pastor Brandon from the Lake Worth campus. Brandon was there, yep. And here's me, the bearded one. And then there's Brett right behind Dale. And there we are together. So we've been on this lifelong journey of friendship and Jesus and serving Jesus together. It's a very cool thing. Well, when we were at FSU, we actually had a strain in our relationship. He was going through a lot of things and was processing some stuff that was happening in his life. And I was going through some things, and that just created stress all around. And on top of all of that, we started liking the same girl. Now, thank God for unanswered prayers, because I ended up with Leah and I hit the jackpot. Yeah. Yeah. And Brett ended up with his wife, Christina, and they're all the way out in Missouri, and he hit the jackpot too. So we're both thankful for unanswered prayers. Thank you, Jesus. But it was hard. Ooh, it was hard. And that created, we still loved each other, but that created misunderstanding, which created miscommunication, which created hurt feelings, which created some bitterness and some resentment. And there's a fracture in our friendship. And when somebody's your closest friend and all of a sudden there's distance between you two, that's a painful thing. One day, Brenton had made a comment to me, and to be honest with you, he made a side comment and I blew up and I yelled at him. And he went, let's slow down. We need to talk. Let's go to lunch. And we went to the place where you have all deep reconciliation work. We went to Subway. And it was there that we hashed things out and we talked, and honestly, we forgave each other. We didn't count each other's sins against the other person because we know Jesus doesn't count our sins against us. And we reconciled. And the joy that that brought, oh, the peace that that brought, the sense of God's presence that that brought, I missed my friend so much. It was so good to have him back. That's how God feels about you. God is not some cosmically ticked off being in heaven who's just mad at you and wants you to repent of sin or else. He's a friend who misses you. And through the cross of Jesus, died for you and made a way for you to come back to him and to have your relationship with God restored. And this is huge. This is huge. Dr. Brian Russell says this: reconciliation with God, having your relationship with God restored, makes it possible for us to live fully as the people who God created us to be. If you want God to cause something to be or to live within you again, it first starts with being reconciled to him and having your relationship with him restored. This is what he wants for every single person and every single person streaming online. Now, the beautiful thing that the Apostle Paul teaches us in this passage is that it's not just about you and God being good. In Western civilization, it's all about me. And we're a very individualistic culture. The message of Jesus is better than that. The Apostle Paul talks to us about giving us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is what he's talking about giving to us. Check out this verse here. He says here about this in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God, here it is again, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is a big deal. I want you to think for a minute, what do you believe is the goal of Christianity? What's the purpose of Christianity? The purpose of Christianity is not every 7 days for you to come here and worship. The goal of Christianity is not for you to come weekly and then to maybe serve, maybe be in a group. Maybe if you're going to grow so much spiritually, you might even give a little. And then to hit repeat every 7 days until you die and then you go to heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. Please come to church. Please serve. Especially in Kids of Hope. We're exploding with kids. Please. All those things are good. None of those things are bad. Just Jesus died for more than just hit repeat every 7 days and do church. There's way more. The goal of Christianity is not to go to church. The goal of Christianity is for you to become just like Jesus. For Jesus's work to be so thorough inside of your heart that you've let his restoring work go so deep in your heart that you've become just like him. The word Christian was actually an insult on the first followers of Jesus, making fun of them, calling your bunch of little Christs. That's what we're supposed to be. Now, my favorite definition of this, when somebody gets spiritually formed to become just like Jesus from the inside out, Dr. Bob Mollahan says a spiritual formation, it's the process of being formed in the image of Christ. Yes, I want to do that. That's a wonderful thing, but it's so much more than self-actualization. It's the process of being formed in the image of Christ. Here it is, for the sake of others. I want you to turn and look at the person next to you. Everybody online, do that too. You are being invited to become just like Jesus for them and for your kids and for your neighbors and for that family member you can't stand and for your difficult coworkers and for people on the other side of the globe who've never heard the name of Jesus before. It's for others. In fact, consider everybody that we've talked about in this series. Look at this. We started, think about with Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector who was a betrayer of his people. He was like a mix between an IRS agent and the KGB. And then Jesus restored him. And then Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the clearest one of the four Gospels that's written to the Jewish people to convince them why Jesus is their Messiah. For the people who rejected him. Mary Magdalene was somebody who was caught in despair and depression, just like some of you are now and some of you online are now. And Jesus met her in her deepest, darkest moment. And then what did he do with her after he restored her? Mary became the very first preacher of the gospel. She was the apostle to the apostles. She was the first one who went and told the 12 that Jesus was risen. She is the one who's the first to preach the eternal hope that Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Amen. It's for others. Do you see it? The apostle Paul was a murderous, self-righteous Pharisee filled with dead religion and legalism. And Jesus, in his mercy, confronted him, saved him, transformed him, restored him. And because of the apostle Paul, and because what Jesus did in him, he became the primary writer of the New Testament, the primary theologian of the first century of the Christian church. And this man's writings in Jesus' name have been translated to more language than any other writing ever in human history. For the sake of others. The woman caught in adultery, we don't even know her name. But Jesus met her in her sin and in her condemnation and said, look at me. Look at me. Where are your accusers? They're gone. And I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. This woman is now the patron saint for broken, sinful people like me. And maybe like you. For others. And Peter. Good old Peter. Perpetual foot and mouth syndrome Peter. Who betrayed Jesus. And was filled with shame. And Jesus healed his shame and undid his shame. And this man who was hiding and weeping bitterly on the day the church was born on Pentecost Sunday stood up with the courage of the Lion of Judah and preached the first message of the church. 3,000 people got saved and the church was born, and we're here today because of him. Amen. For others. It's for others. Do you see it? And if he did it for them, he can do it for you. Here's another one. We're going to show a picture of a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Dutch watchmaker, later became a Christian author and speaker. And Corrie was alive during the period of World War II. And she and her family, because they loved Jesus, were sheltering persecuted Jewish people from Nazi Germany. Hundreds of people they saved in secret hidden walls in their home until an informant outed them and Nazi soldiers came to their home. And even though they weren't Jewish, even though they were Christians, but they were helping Jewish people, they arrested her father, her sister, and her and shipped all of them to Ravensbrück concentration camp, where 10 days later her father died, 10 days in. 9 months in, her sister died. And then by a miracle, 12 days later, because of a clerical error, Corrie got set free. And instead of going into a pit of depression and self-loathing and anger and bitterness, she launched a healing ministry preaching the hope of Jesus Christ, because Jesus met her in concentration camp and taught her this truth that some of you might need to hear today, that there is no pit that Christ's love is not deeper still. That's Jesus calling. And I've heard lots of stories about Corrie, mainly not because I've read her material, but because some of my mentors were her aides. Dr. Bob and Ellen Stamps, when I was in seminary, Ellen was Corrie's traveling nurse for 20 years. And she's heard all the glory stories and heard and saw Jesus move through this woman. So I've heard this from people who are right with her. In fact, I'm going to read a story from Corrie's own words about how Corrie was a minister, the ministry of reconciliation. So she's out teaching and proclaiming the love and forgiveness of Jesus. Now listen to this. It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. That's crazy. There came a man up to me and said, Miss Ten Boom, I'm glad to see you. Don't you know me? Suddenly I saw that man. He was one of the most cruel overseer's guards in the concentration camp. And the man said, I am now a Christian. So do you guys get this? It was one of her guards, who is the cruelest there, has now come to her after she spoke. The man said, I'm now a Christian. I found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible. I know that there's forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world and also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. And I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims for forgiveness. So Fraulein Ten Boom, once and you're forgiven, right? Will you forgive me? And Corey writes, I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. And when I saw that I could not forgive, I knew I myself had no forgiveness. Do you know what Jesus said about that? When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. I knew, I'm not ready for Jesus to come real quick because I have no forgiveness for my sins. I was not able. I could not. I could only hate him. And then I took one of those beautiful texts, one of those boundless resources, Romans 5:5, written by Paul. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought me into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred. At that same moment, I was free and I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him, and it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You've never touched the ocean of God's love as when you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No, I can't, but he can. Amen. Now, what's incredible about the story is not just the personal reconciliation between her and this guard, but it was the ministry of reconciliation where this guard came to her, almost saying, will you forgive me? Almost as if, is this Jesus stuff actually real? And she showed him it was. Who in your life is waiting for you to extend a hand of the ministry of reconciliation and show them that this Jesus stuff is real? Now, all of this is undergirded by first the message of reconciliation itself. The message of reconciliation we could see from 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is what fuels the ministry of it. And he has committed to us the message, not just the ministry, but the message of reconciliation in verse 20. Check this. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Have your relationship with God restored. And this word implore means to beg, to plead. And so I'm begging you, if you have not yet been reconciled to God, do it today. And instead of me telling you why you should do it, let me just show you why instead. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Robert Villatoro, and this is my testimony. My life before Jesus was not an easy one. I grew up with a single mom raising three kids, with her working a full-time job and running a full-time house on her own. I got to see firsthand what sacrifice looked like. She gave up her wants and her needs for her children, and I knew that she did the best to give us a good life, full of love, compassion. I can still remember when I was little, my mom would take me to go see my dad and ask him for help, and he would come up with excuses on why he couldn't help us. So I got to see it firsthand what selfishness looked like. With each no, I started hearing a voice telling me that I was not good enough for his love. Seeing other kids with their father in their life just left me felt abandoned. So I held on to this pain and this anger and this guilt and shame and worthlessness. As I got older, I made mistakes that hurt myself, hurt my loved ones, and pushed me away from God. My mom tried, to take me to church. And I had a rebellious mindset, and I wanted to do things my way. I felt like if my father couldn't love me, then how could God love me? But the pain was overwhelming the truth. And then God placed my beautiful wife in my life, and things have changed. I knew I wanted to be the man that she deserved, a man of God. So the questions started coming in my head. Who is God? What does it mean to have God in my life? And what does it mean to have faith in Him? Her family helped me on my journey to learn about Jesus. And one night at Community of Hope, the light bulb had gone off. It was Christmas Eve about 4 years ago. Pastor Trevor was giving his sermon, and something he said stood out to me. He was talking about how Jesus came here to save us and reconnect us with God. And my view of Jesus changed forever. Trevor spoke about how Jesus felt pain and anger and other emotions. And suddenly I felt connected to Jesus, and a fire had started in my heart. And I knew I did not want to lose it because of Jesus. He has freed me of my pain, my anger, my guilt, my shame, and showed me that I am not worthless. And I was even able to forgive the ones who have hurt me. Now that I have given my life back to God, He has blessed me with a wonderful life. My wife and I are closer than ever, and even after about 4 years of us trying to have a baby and even having conversations of what a life would be without children, God has blessed us with two twin baby girls, and now I want to be the father that they deserve. I am still facing difficult circumstances in my life and have to make hard decisions, but I know that God is there with me every step of the way. And even the times that I knew that I did need Him, He was still there. With Community of Hope making such a healthy place for me to build a real relationship with Jesus, I am so ever thankful. So today I want to thank my mom for never stop praying for me, for my wife for believing in me, her family for seeing the man that I could be, and thank Jesus for giving me the opportunity to show the world that I am a child of God.
He can do it for Mary and for Matthew and for Paul and for the woman caught in adultery and for Peter and for Robert. He can do it for you. We're going to close with a moment of prayer where this is an altar moment where you're sitting, where you're streaming online. This is a moment for you and God. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to give you a moment to ask the Holy Spirit first to bring to your mind, who is it that needs the ministry of reconciliation? Who is it in your life that needs to see that Jesus is real? Holy Spirit, would you bring to our minds even now, right here, right now, the person or people who you are calling us to reach out a hand of reconciliation towards? To show them the love and grace of Jesus, that need to hear that this is real. Show us, Lord. Some of you are getting pictures in your mind right now, faces. Pray for them as they come to your mind. Pray that God would bless them and reveal Himself to them. Thank you, God. And for those of us who are here in this room, for anybody streaming online, Paul tells us now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. If you have not yet had your relationship with God restored, if you haven't been reconciled to him through Christ, now is your moment. If you need to come back to him, now is your moment. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for this afternoon. Do it now. If you want to give your life to Christ and recommit to him now, pray this with me, but just to yourself. Nobody's going to embarrass you here. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you lived, that you died for my sin, and that you rose for my life. Would you forgive me for my sin? Would you be my friend? Would you be my leader? Would you be the Lord of my life? I give all of my life to you now, and I ask that you would give me your Holy Spirit to live in my heart. I want to follow you all of my days. And Lord, we thank you. We worship you, that you're the God of reconciliation. You're the God of restoration. You're the champion of our church. You're the champion of our hearts. And we worship you for your work of transformation. You're the best, Jesus. Keep doing it. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. If you're able, would you please stand? We're going to invite prayer team to come forward. And we always like to keep a prayerful space after service for people who need to come forward and do business with God at our altar. Or if you need to come pray with our prayer team, especially if you prayed that prayer to give your life to Christ, come pray with somebody up here. And by the way, just like Robert got baptized at the beach, you can sign up for one more day at beach baptism. If you just prayed that prayer, fill out the form by tomorrow. We'll dunk you at the beach in Jesus' name. Would you bow your heads? Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you too would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, happy Mother's Day. Go in God's grace, and we'll see you next week.